Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a regular series that's part of the Table Talk podcast from Food Matters Live. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. This week, I'm chatting to Ben Christofferson in partnership with the University of West London. Ben is an incredibly skilled former pastry chef and food founder who is, quite rightly, obsessed with croissants. He now runs the Bachelor of Science degree in Future Food and Culinary Management at the university, with the aim of creating chefs and food founders of tomorrow who understand how to cook and market their products more sustainably. I'll be back at the end with some key info about getting on the course and where it could lead you. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. Going to say, you must be pretty hip and cool because you get to see the world through their eyes.
No, it's kind to say that, but no, I don't think they'll look at me and say that.
Maybe after they hear you on this podcast, they see how cool you really are, Ben. What do you do in an average day then over at the University of West London?
So my job is, one of the reasons I love it is because, you know, there aren't really two or three days that are the same. So majority of the time I'm teaching. That's my sort of core thing I do. But apart from that, I do a lot of events related stuff, competition training. And then there's a lot of new content that I need to create. So things like new modules and new courses. And then liaising with industry as well, getting people in to do demonstrations or talks or taking students out. And then surrounded by all that is the bit that no one likes, like, is the admin.
And are you also involved in all the marking of any paperwork and things?
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. I just started today. I've got about around 100 pieces of work to start grading and get my teeth into. That'll keep me busy for the next 3 weeks or so.
Because I think people imagine that if you're studying catering or anything to do with food, it's all practical. What's the kind of written element?
It's pretty much 50-50. On the Future Food course, it's probably more like 60-40, so 60 theoretical, 40 practical. So, yeah, you've got a lot of modules where you do a lot of theoretical work, and there's lots of reports and presentations to do, and essay writing and investigative sort of stuff, finding out about things going on in the industry and trends and nutrition and environmental aspects and things like that. So yeah, there's loads to do, you know, to around the whole subject.
So if you're doing your course, it's great if you've got a natural talent for cooking and a passion for cooking, but there's so much more to it than just cooking in a kitchen, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I was having a conversation with some students the other day, and we were talking about starting a business, and we were talking about making things and producing things, and I was saying to them, you know, you'll all be excellent at making things. Doesn't matter what it is, cakes or, you know, restaurant dishes or, you know, coffee, you know, related things. You'll be experts at that. But the bits you're not experts at are running businesses, because you've never had time to practice, and it takes practice. And so when you go out there and you want to start a business, for example, and you are an expert at making products, you have to remember, you have to become an expert at all the other boring stuff, like I was talking about earlier, like admin. You have to be as good at admin as you are at making, I don't know, sourdough, for example. And then you've got a chance of you know, really making it. It's kind of boring, it is.
Like, well, it's not boring.
It takes the romance away.
It might do, but in the end, if it helps somebody to set up a successful business that gives them the kind of lifestyle they want in the future, it's not so boring after all when you're sitting on the super yacht, is it?
Well, yeah. If you could make it, you know, in this industry and in business, which is very, very tough, it'll be... In no great part would be down to the fact that you're good at, you know, organising yourself and time and assets and understanding about, you know, cash flow and stuff like that, which is so important.
And here's where I think your students are really lucky, because you come from a professional kitchen background. So tell us about how you started and got into the industry.
I've got quite a varied past. I studied at college, so I did some catering sort of education, and then I went on and I worked internationally. I worked in Switzerland, Germany, Canada, in five-star hotels and restaurants as well.
Always as a head pastry chef?
No, I didn't specialise in pastry till I was about 23 or so. I always wanted to, but because I went travelling, it was really, really hard, because the conversation would go something like, do you have experience in pastry? because I want to work in pastry. I say no, and they say, well, you can come and work with us, but we won't let you in pastry. They just, on the continent, they just would not let you in the pastry kitchen if you didn't have like a experience or a qualification, and I didn't have either of those. I'd done a little bit.
Even for free, even for a day of adult work placement or something?
No, I don't think so, no. I remember working in Germany and I was there for a year or so in a five-star hotel, and I asked every day, I went to the pastry every day, can I come and work in here today? No, they're like, no.
In the last week, they let me in.
In the last week.
I can't imagine a chef here in the UK having a nice restaurant and having someone keen coming up to them and saying, I'll do a day for free, I'll do whatever it takes to work in your pastry kitchen, and turning them away.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So my drive was, when I came back to the UK after travelling and working and everything, was to get some qualifications, in particularly in patisserie, and then go to London and work in a five-star hotel in London. So that's what I did. I worked in a restaurant in Nottingham for a couple of years, did some education and in patisserie, and then came to London and worked in five-star hotels, the Goring Hotel, and then I worked at did some event catering for Rhubarb, I think it was called back then, and then worked in Harrods as in the pastry department, and then ran my own business for a couple of years. So I've got quite a varied background.
So what does your class look like now? What kind of size is it, an age group?
Oh, it's really varied. Sometimes I teach a classroom of 30 or 40 people in a theory classroom. I'm doing something like sustainable gastronomy. And then in a practical class, I never have more than 15 students, just because that's the maximum that we'll take in a practical classroom, which is great because, you know, it's more often than not, it's more like 12 or 13 or 14. So that's really nice.
And what's this sustainable gastronomy? It all sounds a bit Heston Blumenthal to me.
Yeah, so it's a module on another one of our courses. And it's looking at gastronomy through the perspective of sustainability. So basically, it's a lens of everything about food and production, but looking at it from the perspective of sustainability. So we look at everything from travel and tourism connected to the Michelin Guide to sort of global issues with sustainability. Some of it's pretty heavy, actually. I sometimes forget to warn students, but to say, like, you know, some of this content's quite heavy. We look at, you know, supply chain and issues within supply chain, like manufacturing of CAFOs or heavy animal feeding situations. So, you know, they can be quite stressful to look at sometimes when you see the animals under the heavy production system that they can be put under. So some of it's quite heavy, and it's a very good class, and the students are very, very receptive to it, and this semester particularly has been really good, and I think students' understanding of sustainability in along the supply chain is becoming so much more understood and talked about that they understand so much more than, say, students did a decade ago or 5 years ago.
So not everybody that comes on your courses wants to be a kind of classic kitchen chef. They might also want to set up their own food business. What other jobs are they going for?
There's a variety, really. I mean, like you said, there's the sort of traditional chef who goes to work in a restaurant, or she goes to a hotel, you know, cruise ship, fine dining, personal chef. One of our ex-chefs went to work in Los Angeles for a super famous person. I actually can't remember.
Tell us who, Ben.
I actually genuinely, I'm so bad with celebrities. Oh, come on. I'm horrendous. But they were super famous, and they have been travelling with them since then. So yeah, you can go and be with a bit of experience, you can go and be a private chef, and, you know, you can be up at 3 o'clock in the morning making them a strawberry cheesecake just because that's what they said they want you to do. If that's what you want to do, it's a good ticket though. Entrepreneurial activity, so students have gone on to do things like food trucks, events, start their own coffee shops, the cafe business, wholesale companies. One of my ex-students from a couple of years ago has gone on to be a baker. They've started a bakery in Romania. And some of our students go to work in front of house. It's probably a lower percentage, but there are some who go to work in the traditional front of house routes. Development chef or development in general is quite popular. We've had students go to work for M&S, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, a big company called Bacavor.
Oh, I know them, yeah. So development will be developing new products?
Yeah, so anything from working on, say, like a plant-based range at M&S, or developing, like a cheesecake menu for Sainsbury's or something like that. So yeah, working for the major supermarkets or different areas. So yeah, that one's quite popular. But usually they have to have a couple of years' experience, and then in top restaurants to go and do that, which, you know, it's quite a good route to take.
Go on.
Oh, there's so many. It's so varied. I made some notes. Teacher is quite common as well. They go on to teach in different areas. Chocolatier, pastry chef. One of my students who's just started a blog, actually, literally in the last couple of days, I follow him on Instagram, and he went on to work in inland aqua farming, in inland prawn cultivation, so sustainable prawn cultivation.
That's pretty niche, Ben.
That's very, very niche. Yeah, yeah. He was a great student and a really top guy, and he's very, very interested in sustainability and everything. So yeah, I mean, if you're interested in a particular area of food in general, you could go on to work in that area that you want to, you know, so long as you're motivated enough and you've got enough drive to find your way into it. So yeah, and you can also go on to do further study as well.
So your course, Ben, is called Future Food and Culinary Management, is that right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And so if you're somebody who's not sure what to study, but you know you love food, you know you want to get into the food industry, but you're not quite sure where, is this a good place to go?
Yeah, it is. It's a great place to go. It's the course itself is very well-rounded in that it teaches a huge amount about sort of culinary in general and the food industry, and obviously we look at it from the complete perspective of sustainability. So everything we do, all the modules we approach, we're looking at them from the aspect of sustainability and what's the most responsible way to approach the teaching that we do, and how can we have less impact on the environment, and how we can sort of link that into all the teaching. So for example, one of the modules we do at level five is a pastry module. But it's only using plant-based ingredients, so it's non-traditional, and everything we do will be using novel ingredients and baking and making patisserie and making products that have no animal ingredients at all.
Can you ever make a croissant without butter, Ben?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Is it as tasty?
Is it tasty? It's pretty close. There's loads of other things. Pastry, patisserie and bakery. Lend itself really, really well to cooking with plant-based ingredients, because you can get the same textures and the same flavors. You can use other fats, like for example, you can use coconut oil, for example, which acts quite similarly to butter when you're making pastries. And you can use lots of different types of pectin to gel something and set something, make it smoother.
Is pectin the stuff from an apple seed?
Pectin is most pectin is the most common pectin is taken from citrus skin, yeah, but there is lots of pectin in apples in general.
So if you're good at chemistry, this is an amazing course to go on.
Yeah, if you've got a good scientific background or a good scientific appreciation and you like it, yeah, you'll love it, especially stuff like patisserie particularly. I'm originally a pastry chef, so I'm very biased towards patisserie. The whole course, Future Food and Culinary Management, teaches the culinary aspect from the main kitchen and from front of house and from pastry as well. So we do different modules. Some modules are front of house, some modules are looking from the kitchen perspective, and some from pastry. So it's a very holistic approach to looking at the food industry.
So everybody has to do a bit of everything, even if they lean towards one speciality.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's really important, because someone might turn up and say, "I want to be a Michelin star chef. That's what I'm going to do." Quite often, by the time they come to the third year and they're sort of finishing up, they say, "I definitely don't want to be a Michelin star chef. I actually want to go and be a sommelier, for example." And that's what they do, and it's great. And they came to that realization because they learned all this stuff and thought, "Actually, that's really not for me."
So, anybody who wants to come and study with you at University of West London, what kind of stuff should they have studied beforehand to get to you?
We've got a variety of people who join us. We've got school leavers quite often who've just done A-levels. And they would have done a variety of different A-levels. We'll welcome people from any background, really. They don't have to have done food subjects. I mean, it is helpful. We also have people who come from college as well, and they've done their level three grades, and they've done some cooking as well. And that's great, and that's really good. They're always really good in the kitchen, but I tend to find the people who've come from school and done their A-levels are a bit better at them in the theoretical classroom. So the two sort of, they eventually catch up with each other, usually by sort of the end of the first year. And then we've got mature students as well, lots of people who are in industry at the moment, and they're sort of in their career, and they really, really want to progress. And so they come and do a course like Future Food or some of the other courses we do in the college, and try and push themselves and you know, learn about management and a little bit more about, you know, science of cookery or the areas they're in, so they can go on and get another job in something, you know, like development or entrepreneurial activity or some type of, you know, something to do with media. They just need a little bit of a push.
Your course is called Future Food and Culinary Management, but there are different courses within the course, right? So maybe let's talk about that.
Yeah, so in my area, in the food area, there are three main courses that we run. One is called Nutrition and Food Management. One is called Culinary Arts Management. And the other one, the newest one, is called Future Food and Culinary Management. So the nutrition and food management is kind of speaks for itself. It's all about nutrition and the practical application of nutrition within food. The second one, culinary arts management, is the oldest course that we have, which is the sort of traditional chef route. And that one's been developing for quite a few years. It's a very, very popular course. We've got a huge, broad mix of people who come on it, mature students, school leavers, college people, and then international students as well. There's loads of international students. It's got a very good reputation in general. And then, so that's a very traditional course looking at chef skills, front of house skills. And then the most recent one, which is the Future Food and Culinary Management, which looks at the industry from the perspective of sustainability and the future of food and how we'll develop what we're doing and novel ingredients and supply chain and all the complexity of running a food system.
And are most of the students on each of these three courses based on campus with a mixture of working and campus?
Yeah, so most of our students are in on campus about three and a half, four days a week. Each one of those courses has the opportunity to do a placement. So each course takes 3 years, but you could do a placement year as well if you wanted, which is like 42 weeks. And we have a placements department, and they can help you find a secure placement. Or, you know, you could turn up and say, I'm desperate to work at, I don't know, the Savoy. I really want to do it. Can you help me? Then, of course, we'd, you know, say yes. And so-and-so knows this guy there. So, you know, get in contact with him and, you know, go and see if it is really what you want. And then we set it up that way.
It's me again. So that was the delightful Ben, who seems to have a natural understanding of how to get the best out of young people. And he is such a champion of getting his students into international competitions where they can showcase their work. So here's the lowdown. The Future Food and Culinary Management course takes 3 years full-time or 4 years with a work placement added on. You'll need a minimum BBC at A level or 112 UCAS points. You will come away with brilliant culinary skills, including specialist knowledge of different dietary requirements and a great technical understanding too. Sustainability is at the heart of every module, and students will learn how to set up their food business or work with food in an environmentally positive way. And even if leadership doesn't really come naturally to you, you'll feel confident and well equipped to manage others by the time the UWL is done with you. Former students have gone on to work as private celebrity chefs or hotel head chefs, travelling the world to exotic locations. Others have set up their own restaurants, food trucks, or best-selling food brands. During and after your studies, the university will open up its extensive contacts book to you to make sure that you get all the mentoring, funding, or work placement help that you need. And I'm told the food on campus is not bad either. The course, which starts in September every year, costs £9,250 annually, and there are generous bursaries and scholarships on offer. To find out more, visit uwl.ac.uk and search Future Food. And if you want to find out what students really think about the place, there is a uni YouTube channel called Love Life at Uni. It is not about students' love life, but it does give you a good look at what it's really like to study there. Thanks to Ben for joining us, and thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.